It's not complicated, guys. It's just believing that your Father is a good Father and He gives good gifts to His children.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, how many here today are born again, blood bought children of God? Okay. You're born again. You know that heaven is your home and God is your Father. Amen. And Jesus Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we may possess something that we're not aware of. And if we don't know that we have something, we won't know to use what we have. I talked about the illustration of a bank account. Somebody may have died and given you an inheritance and said there, it's in a certain bank in a certain location. But you've got to go and you've got to now make the withdrawal. And I've given you the account number so you can access that account. But if you had never been told, if you weren't aware that that existed, then you may be living on, you know, top ramen because of your current situation. I'm talking about a natural illustration here. But I'm talking really about how it is in the spirit realm. The God is a bountiful Father. He's an extravagant Father. Amen. He doesn't offer anything cheap or inferior. And when Jesus turned the water into wine at the Feast of Canaan, they said, Lord, usually they bring out the cheap stuff at the end, but you brought out the best. And because Jesus only serves the best. Amen. And God wants us to receive what He has for us and know what we have and who we are in Him. And so you have really two types of people today walking the earth, and they're those who are in Christ and those who are still in Adam. But if you are in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creation. Old has gone, the new has come. So we may be forgiven and the power of sin could be broken in our lives, but if the enemy can keep us from believing that truth, he can prevent us from living out the will of God for our lives. So the enemy attacks your faith. He attacks, you know, the truth. He tries to undermine what God says so that you believe the lie rather than the truth. So what is yours in Christ is freedom. Freedom from the power of sin. So I can walk in new life in Christ as a child of God. Amen. And serve my Father with full confidence because my heart, amen, has been cleansed and purged by the precious blood of Christ. Amen. And I have confidence towards God. But if I'm not aware of this fact, then I can live as a spiritual pauper, if you will. You know, God offers us an invitation to come into His banqueting hall, to dine at His table, amen, and to fill ourselves on that which truly satisfies, who is Christ in us. He's the only one that can truly satisfy the deepest longings of anyone's heart. How many have tried to satisfy yourself on lesser things in this world? You know, some people are still trying to do that. Even God's people sometimes are getting distracted by lesser things, and they've just made the whole goal, their whole aim of life is just having all the toys, you know? And yet, those things are for the using while we're here, but those should not be the priority of our life. Are you hearing me, somebody? God can bless you with good things, but often we can find ourselves, you know, being tempted to make gods out of the things we possess rather than the God who gave the gift in the first place. And so 1 Corinthians 15:21 says, for since by man came death, that would be the amen from Adam and Eve's transgression, death came upon all. Amen. For all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But man, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. Our Lord Jesus, the life-giving spirit that rose again on the third day. Amen. For as in Adam all die, even so, in Christ, all shall be made alive. Now, what is very important to realize is that I must know that I'm in Christ. And I must remain in Him. Jesus told us in John 15 that we need to abide, continue in Him. Amen? So, otherwise, I get into this other part of me that is actually Adam. And that's the sin nature. And I want to talk a little bit about that because I believe the Bible clearly tells us what the difference is. Amen. So we can know what is of God and what is really of flesh. Because we know that if we live according to the flesh, amen, we'll die and we'll have no spiritual vitality or life in us. But life comes from the Lord, who is the author of life. Amen. So we want to continue or abide in him. Now, how many have heard it said, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. How many have used that term? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. How many think that that's an accurate statement for somebody who's in Christ? Okay. That's why I want to talk about this a little bit today, because it really has to do with identity, doesn't it? Understanding who we are in the new creation and not any longer identifying ourselves with something that was. Instead, we need to walk in what is. The new creation, the new beginning, walking in the Spirit, there's life and peace. And so it's not really even theologically correct to use that term, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You can say, I was a sinner saved by grace, but not I am a sinner. Because either you're in Adam, if you're in Adam, you're a sinner. Or you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, you are the righteousness of God. Christ makes you righteous. Amen. You can't confuse the two. You can't live both lives. You can't be double-minded. Either I'm in Christ, that's my identity, this is where I live from. Amen. Or I'm bouncing back and forth. I'm going back to Adam. I'm going to Christ. I'm going to Adam. Are you hearing me? And the enemy wants to play with your mind. And he wants you to doubt what God has said about you in the new creation. That's what he's attacking. He's attacking the truth so he can get your faith. He can rob you of your confidence in God. So sometimes what people say are really meaning when they say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, is I'm a sinner and therefore I can't help but sin. Come on. Sometimes people use that, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, as really an excuse to indulge their flesh. Because what they're saying is, because I'm a sinner, I can't help but sin. How many know that's a lie? You absolutely can help, amen, and prevent yourself from indulging in anything that God says is wrong. Because he's broken the power of sin in your life. If you're in Christ, you are actually set free. But if a person is not aware of that, and they begin to accept this other identity, it's almost like an alter ego, you know, you're going to be confused in your mind, and you're going to be double-minded, and you're not going to be able to walk consistently in the victory that Christ has already bought for you. He purchased our freedom at the cross. He broke the power of sin at the cross so that we can walk in freedom in Christ Jesus. Amen. And no longer be bound by not only the power of sin, but even the fear of sin. Because you will worship what you fear. You'll bow down to that which you fear. Come on, somebody. Are you saying that I do not sin? Someone might have the thought, well, are you saying that we don't sin? No, that would be a lie, wouldn't it? 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, past, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So, fellowship with the Lord requires an acknowledgement of the truth concerning ourselves, that we understand what is true. Notice John makes a distinction between sin and verse 8. Look at verse 8 again. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And then in sins, in verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, plural. There's a difference. So what is sin talking about? Sin is talking about the corrupt, evil nature that we receive from Adam. Sins is referring to the evil things that we have done in our body. Those evil acts that we've done. Amen? That's sins. But the sin nature in Christ, the power of that sin nature has been rendered useless. In other words, no longer does the enemy have the authority to rule over me and make me do anything. Because Jesus Christ has set me free from that power. But if I'm not aware of that, or if I don't really believe that, then I can live as a sinner even though I'm technically or positionally free from it. I'm positionally free from it. Do you understand? So what has to happen is our minds have to be renewed. Our understanding, amen, has to be transformed through the Word of God to come into alignment or agreement with what God says and not what I used to believe. I need to change my mind. I need to repent in my mind and my thinking. Amen. And get into confidence in God's promises and not in my ability to live holy. So what we are naturally, listen, is a lot worse than anything we've ever done. So a natural person is born in a sense, and I know this is offensive to some, especially to the sin nature, to the soul man, but as a monster. We were born corrupt, the seed of Satan, sold under sin. Satan was our master. In Adam, all die. The consequence of sin is what? Death. But so who we were naturally is worse than actually what we've done in our bodies. You understand? Because sometimes we're looking at the fruit of someone's life and not considering the root. If the root changes, amen, so does the fruit. And only Jesus can do that work in us. And sometimes we're just trying to patch up the old man and fix some things and change some things and try harder to be better or to be holy or to be righteous or to be good. And some people are, they pride themselves. You know, the devil lies to people and he tells them that they're good enough. You're good. You're a pretty good person. You don't really need to repent. He tells them that they're good enough to merit heaven. And therefore they don't need to turn to Christ. You're good enough to go to heaven. Look at all the good things you've done. You've been such a do-gooder in life. Certainly you earn or deserve heaven. That's what he tells people. He gets people puffed up in their natural understanding. He deceives their mind, amen, with falsehoods. He gets people in what we call self-righteousness, where I evaluate myself by myself. Well, to me, I'm a pretty good person. But what does God say about mankind apart from Christ? He says you're not good. None are good. Not one is good except one. Jesus Christ, the perfect one. Amen. The sinless one. Hallelujah. Who came to pay the price for the sins of the world so that we can transition out of sin, out of the power of sin, out of darkness, and into His marvelous light. Amen. Into the new creation, the new beginning, where I have freedom from the power of the devil, power from sin. Amen. And I can walk in this new life by the promise of God, simply by faith in what God has promised me. I don't have to strive to be good. I consider myself good because Christ in me is good and He makes me good. Amen. I consider myself righteous because Christ is my righteousness now. Amen. I don't trust in my goodness or my righteousness, but in His. And so what you really believe is what you will receive, and what you will receive determines how you live your life. Are you hearing me, guys? It's all a matter of the mind and what the devil plays with us. He tells us that that thing is too powerful for you. You can't do it. Oh, you're trying. You're trying hard. But he tells you that you can't. When God says you can do all things through Christ. If God tells you to do something, He also supplies the grace for you to do it. Oh, Lord, what you're asking me to do is impossible. I can't do that. That's too much for me. Yes, it is too much for you. I don't want you to put your confidence in your ability. Put your confidence in what I can do in you and through you. For all have sinned, haven't they? But we can be justified freely through the grace that's in Christ Jesus. So now I want to say something, guys, because the devil tells people, just be a do-gooder and you'll be a good person. So a person who lives in Adam and attempts to be righteous in himself or herself, you know, as long as they're doing good, I'm good. I'm a good person. I'm doing good. But as soon as you fail or you do something stupid or you're really upset about something you did, now I'm bad. So it's all conditioned upon how you're doing at the moment, whether you have any confidence that it's okay between you and God. Are you hearing me, somebody? We got the wrong focus. We can't be focusing on self. We have to look away from, deny, disown ourselves and fully give ourselves over to Christ and let Him, amen, fill our lives with His righteousness and goodness. And we'll live out of that identity, out of that new creation, by the power of God and not by the will of man. Conversion does not mean the eradication of the sin nature. I want you to hear this. It doesn't eradicate the sin nature. And you can't patch up the sin nature either. You can't make it look pretty. Amen? You have to put it to death. So what actually happens is God implants in us the new divine nature. And He gives us power to live victorious over indwelling sin. So even though we are in Christ, it does not mean that we don't have indwelling sin. What it does mean is that there's a sanctification or a separation from that and the new creation. And now you can live from the new identity, the new creation. Amen. And enjoy the life and peace of Christ as you just simply say no to the old and yes to the new. Say no to the sin nature and yes to Christ. In other words, we still have that, don't we, as Christians? And I'm going to prove to you from the scriptures that that's so. Because there are some people that think that we don't have a sin nature anymore in Christ. Yes, we do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be tempted. Otherwise, you wouldn't fail at times and make mistakes. Amen. Amen. So you can't be tempted, amen, if there's nothing to be tempted with. The enemy knows that, and so he wants to resurrect the old man. He wants you to turn your eyes away from Jesus and put your confidence in yourself. And because once we do that, we fall from grace. Now I'm under law again. Now I'm under performance again. Now I'm under self-righteousness again. And I'm only going to do as good as I'm doing good at the moment. But as soon as I'm not doing good, guess what? I'm not good anymore. Why? Because I was counting on myself to be good so that God would like me. So that God would love me. So that God would accept me. Are you hearing me? How many know that God loved you before you even knew Him or even called on Him? Amen. He first loved us, and that's why we love Him. When you receive the mercy of God, when you receive the grace of God, when your sins have been forgiven, when God does for you something that you know that you don't deserve, you don't right away want to go back and relive that and do that again. Amen. You're so thankful. God, I'm so thankful that you canceled that debt, hallelujah, that I could never pay. I was under this burden, amen, that I could never get out from under. And Jesus rescued me. He took it away, hallelujah, set me free from it. How could I ever want to go back into bondage again? When we confess our sins, they are forgiven, hallelujah. But the sin nature still lies within us. And so people who do not have this divine nature in them cannot please God and cannot see God because they're still in Adam. So if you're not in Christ, you can't see God. If you're not in Christ, you're still in Adam. And in Adam, all die. In Adam, there's no eternal life. Adam is not going to be salvaged. The old nature, amen, will be put to death. Amen. And when we leave this body, hallelujah, we'll be in complete victory, complete freedom. Hallelujah, from death. The last enemy to be destroyed is what? Death. And so God's going to liberate us, hallelujah, once and for all. But while we're here in this flesh, we have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to live a life that honors God. Why? Because we're putting our confidence in God and not in ourselves. So it's learning how to do that, learning how to lean on Jesus for the ability every day. Hallelujah. So God implants this new nature in us, and we become children of God. But even as a child, you know, when you're raising your children, they're being raised in your household, and so they're an heir, amen, of the household, and everything you have in the house actually belongs to them. Amen. And but sometimes they want to get into things that they're not qualified to be into yet, right? And they want to open the cabinets and mess with those little bottles that have the funny caps on top or whatever, or stick things inside, you know, the outlets, yeah, and well, all those things. So you got to childproof the house, amen, and you got to avoid allowing that child access to certain things until he's mature enough, come on somebody, to receive that, amen. So it doesn't mean that he doesn't actually possess everything as a joint heir in that household, but it means that certain things are not for him at that point in his life until he grows up, matures, and he has proven himself that he's mature enough. Now you can take the car and go for a drive. We're not giving 5-year-old Johnny the car keys. Amen. He's going to make a mess of things. So our Father likewise does the same with us. He's conditioning and preparing and maturing us for greater things. Amen. And even though we are heirs to the kingdom and everything that he has is ours and everything that we have is his. However, we're not possessing the full thing yet. Amen. But we have a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Christ in you is the hope of glory. If you're born again, hallelujah, you are a new person. And you need to learn now how to live as a new person in Christ. Amen. Positionally in Christ. Amen. We are a child of God. But practically, we learn how to walk. So I may be an heir in my family's household. Amen. But I have to learn how to walk. I need to learn how to be responsible. Okay? So I'm learning how to walk. I'm learning how to behave. I'm representing my Father's honor. So I don't want to embarrass him or do anything, amen, to dishonor my Father. How many of you have children here, amen? Have your kids ever embarrass you? Whose son is that? Whose daughter is that? Oh, my word. Then they look at you like, what kind of monster did you raise, you know? But that's what happens, isn't it? I mean, it's the same thing. We are representing our Father. You know, and as children, at times we're going to make mistakes. But the Father is merciful. He's gracious. Amen. But he doesn't want us to continue to live a mistake. He wants us to learn from it, grow up, because what he has for us is an inheritance. And he wants us to grow up and then possess his inheritance for us as an heir to the throne. So we've got to behave ourselves and learn how to walk in a way that honors our Father's name in the earth realm. So, when we're born again, positionally we are a new creation. But then we are to practically live out who we are by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God that we live. It's not by self. All the grace we need is available at our Father's throne. We are heirs. You don't have to stand outside the door and beg. Amen. You don't have to stand outside that door barefoot. If you're a child of God, you're born of the Spirit, Christ is in you, then you come with confidence. Because this is my house. This is my Father's house. You don't, amen? If you're in a good relationship with your parents, you know, you don't have to knock and say, Dad, can I come in? You just walk in, amen? If you're hungry, what do? You go to the refrigerator and you help yourself. Come on, somebody. I know those teenagers, too. It's like you got to put a lock on that refrigerator, right? It's like, man. But God is saying, come with confidence. Get your eyes off you. Listen, get your eyes off your sin. Trust me that I have already taken care of that. I've already broken the power of that. I'm not holding that against you anymore. Your past is redeemed. All the ugly stuff you've done has been blotted out. It's not going to be held against you anymore. I want you to understand who you are in your new identity. You're a son. You're a daughter of mine. I want you to come now with confidence. All that I have need, all you have need of is yours freely. By my grace, I give to you. Not because we deserve it, but because he's gracious. And he provides all that we have need of so that we are well equipped. Amen. To do everything the Father calls us to do. And do it in confidence because I'm not dwelling on my past. I'm not dwelling on what was. I'm not listening to that other voice that tells me that I can't or that I'm just a sinner. Because if I start to believe that I'm a sinner, then I will live like a sinner. If I believe that I am righteous in Christ, then I will live righteously. If I believe the power of sin is broken in my life, then I will no longer bow down to it. I'll say, get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
Not going there. Speak to the hand. Hebrews 4, how many know this so well? 14 through 16. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. What do we believe? We have a high priest who understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne, what? Of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So God didn't come into this world just to improve us. He didn't come into this world just to enhance our quality of life. Jesus came to redeem us from sin. He came to implant his new nature in us and bring us into his family and call us sons, call us daughters. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you know, this doesn't describe a believer's practice. This verse is really talking about his position. That's who I am positionally in Christ. I'm a new creation. And the words in Christ are the key to the passage. In Christ, old things have passed away. All things have become new. So you got to be in Christ in order to possess this. Amen. So I'm a new creation. Where? In Christ, but not in Adam. So I'm not a new creation in my old self. So the old me has to die daily. I have to put to death the misdeeds of the body. I have to tell that other part of me, no. You don't have any authority here anymore. Shut up and sit down, you know. My sin nature is an enemy of God. Period. My sin nature rebels against God. I cannot please God in my sin nature or my flesh. So people are trying to. They're in Adam and they're trying to do things that please God. They're doing all kinds of works thinking that they'll earn their way to heaven. They're going around knocking on doors or whatever they're doing. They're telling them to do in their little cults and their groups, you know, where they've got them in bondage to do all these things and go through stages to somehow reach some type of nirvana or some kind of higher spirituality so that they'll have celestial, you know, whatever. In the afterworld, you got to do all these things we tell you to do in order to get what. It's like a carrot on a stick, but you can never really get the carrot. It just keeps, they keep dragging you along and dragging you deeper into the deception. And you're trying to live. And what happens is you end up serving man and the commandments of men rather than Christ. And that's religion, isn't it? God didn't come to give us religion. He came to give us a relationship with him. You guys know that. So if we understand that my sin nature cannot be coddled, it cannot be improved upon, I can't add good things to it. I have to deny it. I have to disown it. It's no longer me. That's the old me. The old man is dead. I'm considering myself dead to sin, but alive to God. Amen. In Christ Jesus. Reckon yourself what? Indeed, dead to sin, but alive unto God. If we can get that in our spirit, I'm dead to sin. It has no power over me. Hallelujah. Even the devil, he has no power over me except what I would allow him to have by indulging sin. Am I indulging my sin nature? Then I'm giving him permission. But you don't have to. Hallelujah. And it's never worth it, is it? It's never worth it. Now listen to Romans 7:16, and this is in the New Living Translation, so I've got it up here. Just follow with me, if you will. I like the way it's clearly spelled out here. But if I know what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree with the law, that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Talking about the sin nature. And I know that nothing good lives in me. Who is this? This is Paul. The great apostle Paul. He's saying, listen, guys, nothing good lives in me. He wasn't looking to himself. He wasn't trusting in himself to be righteous. That is in my sinful nature, he said. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. You following so far? Let me read it again, verse 20. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, what? I inevitably do what is wrong. Now, guys, this is where it is so important that we keep things in context. We don't want to stop right there, because I know people have used this scripture to justify indulging their sin nature. Well, look here, it says right here, I try to do good, but I can't, so I guess I'm just a sinner. But I'm saved by grace. That's the lie. The devil's got them. Hook, line, and sinker. He's got them in the boat. He's got them in their camp. Because they're trusting in themselves anyways. And so as long as they're doing good, I'm doing good. I'm good. And then when they're not doing good, I'm not so good. And they're back and forth, back and forth. Living on, and many people live in condemnation because they do not know who they are in the new creation. And they don't have faith or confidence in the Word of God. And what God said about it, the promise of God. In other words, they're saying, I can't seem to get it right on my own. That's what he's saying. I just can't seem to get it right. Anybody have said that before? I just can't seem to do anything right. How many know that, where that came from too? But I love God's law, he says, with all my heart, verse 22. Why? Because in Christ we have a love for God. The law is written in our hearts. But there is another power within me. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Where is it at? He said, there's another power within me. This is Paul. That is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Still. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Now, listen, guys, if we just finish at the end of chapter 7 and we don't keep on going, you're going to get it all wrong. Amen. You're going to say, well, that's pretty hopeless. But see, when they wrote the Bible, they didn't have chapters and verses. Amen. It was all one monologue, if you will. I don't know if that's correct, but all right. So then he goes on, chapter 8, verse 1, keeping things in context. So there is therefore what? No condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Oh, I'm going to read it again. And because you belong to him, you're in Christ, you're in the new creation, you've been born again, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. So verse 1, there is therefore what? No condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And it goes on to say in verse 3, for those who live according to the Spirit, amen, and not the flesh. If you're in Christ, then you live by the Spirit. And you no longer submit yourself to the flesh. because the power of the flesh has been broken. Amen. In your life, the power of sin. When it talks about sin, not sins, but sin, it's talking about the sin nature that's in us. God has rendered that thing powerless in your life. Except that the devil will come along and try to entice you to resurrect it again. Right?
Yeah.
Just listen to me, he says. That's what he did with Eve, you know. He started questioning the word of God. Put doubt in her mind that God wasn't serious about what he said. God didn't really mean what he said. Yea, hath God said. You know, yes, God said. And God means what he says, and God doesn't change what he says. His word is forever settled in heaven. And if God says I'm a new creation, if God says I'm free, amen, that's who I am. I'm free indeed. That's what I receive, and what I receive is how I live. It's what I believe. So in Christ, I'm no longer a sinner, but a son with power over sin. So dwell on what Jesus accomplished for you at the cross. Dwell on the cross. Dwell on what Jesus did. When he was raised up, amen, and he spread his arms and he said, it is finished.
Right.
Dwell on that. His victory over sin is your victory. It's my victory. His resurrection is our resurrection.
Right.
His new life is yours. His righteousness is yours. His peace and joy is yours. All that he is yours. Because he is in you and you are in him. Because you are in covenant. And that covenant was sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. God does not lie. The Father and the Son, because he could swear by no greater. It says God swore by himself. The Father and the Son came into an agreement, harmony, the Word. A man became flesh. God became a man. Hallelujah. And this, because man is incapable of living a sinless life and living a life that honors God apart from the righteousness of Christ. So we've got to shift away, guys, from priding ourselves on our accomplishments or how well we're doing today, because you give it another day and something may just happen that can just knock the wind right out of you and take your feet out from under you. Are you hearing me? We can fall flat on our face. We start getting arrogant. We start getting pride. We start getting to a place where we think I'm doing pretty good. And boy, I'm just so super spiritual. And God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, those sinners over there. And God, I thank you that I tithe and I fast and I pray and I worship and I play guitar and sing in a worship team. And, you know, all these things. And God says, none of that matters anything. Amen. It's not what you did. It's what I did. It's not by works, lest any man should. Guys, this is the gospel. And this is the gospel that will free you and keep you free so that you're living in victory. When Christ is in you, you're a new creation. You have new desires. You don't want to do sin anymore. And when you do, you feel bad about it. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're still living as a slave to sin, then you need to get free from the power of sin. You need to get born again. You need to get saved. Amen. And God wants to break the power of that in your life. If you're still in Adam, you're heading to a bad place. But in Christ, we will live. Amen. And the day will come when we will be called to our Father's throne. Amen. We will see Jesus in that day. So in Adam, all die, 1 Corinthians 15:22. Even so, in Christ, all shall be made alive. So guys, we need to make a line of demarcation here. We need to make it very clear. I'm either going to live in law or I'm going to live in grace. Otherwise, we're confused and we're failing because Part of the time I'm living in with confidence in God and His promise, and amen, that the sin is broken in my life and that I'm a new creation and I'm an heir, and as an heir I have access to the Father's throne, amen. Not based upon what I did, but based upon what He did. Or on the other hand, I'm doing pretty good today. I'm living as hard as I can for Jesus to live a good life, to, you know, in my own strength and my own ability. And as long as I'm doing good, I'm good. But as soon as I do wrong, oh, I'm just a rotten sinner. Well, yeah, if you're trying to live out of that old you're going to just fail miserably, amen. Peter had to learn, amen, that he could not any longer put confidence in his flesh. Even Paul the Apostle said, I have no confidence in the flesh. His full confidence was in Christ and Christ alone. And in Christ we have the victory, amen. In God we have the victory. It's not in us. It's not of us. It's of Him. So dwell on what Jesus did for you at the cross. His victory over sin is your victory. He did it for you. He did it for me. And God wants to bring many sinners into sonship. Amen. He doesn't want His sons and daughters living and all below who they are in the new creation. Satan wants us to believe we are still slaves to sin. Remember, that was the problem with Israel in the wilderness. Is that all they had known was slavery. You know, their whole life they'd been living, you know, under the hard taskmaster, you know, who really was a type of Satan, who was Pharaoh, amen. And so they had been told when to get up, when to go to bed, what, you know, they were to do every day. They didn't have any freedom of choice. They just did what they were told to do by their masters. Amen. So when they came out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, God had actually set them free. Amen. And now He was going to be their Father. He was going to take care of them. And He was going to provide for them. Amen. The clothing on their back and the shoes on their feet wouldn't wear out. Amen. He was going to provide manna and the water from the rock and all that. God was taking them into a place, but it was a transition place. He didn't want them getting too comfortable there because He was taking them into the land that was flowing with milk and honey. Amen. So God had a promise for His people. But because they had lived so long in the slavery, they had a slave mentality when they came out. So it took a while for God to work on them. I mean, God was working on many of them. Many of them didn't get over it. As a matter of fact, some of them, even though they were free, they still thought like they were in bondage. So what did they want to do? They say, hey, let's go back to the old thing. You know? Because they didn't understand that where they were at was only transitional. It was only momentary. Do you understand? In our lives, God takes us into places we've never been before, but they're transitional and they're momentary. God is positioning you. God is equipping you. God is maturing you. God is teaching you how to lean on Him, to listen to His voice, and to receive from His provision, and no longer trust you in your own provision, because God is the one that took care of them. They didn't work for anything. Everything was a gift of grace. Can you say amen? And God wants us to learn how to walk in His grace every day, to know that my Father's going to take care of me. He's going to provide for me everything that I have need of. Amen. And everything that pertains to life and godliness, I can live a godly life because God has supplied, amen, all the grace I need, because His grace is greater than all of our sin. God's grace is greater. So Romans 6:8 says, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves dead to sin, but what? Alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. So we need to believe that God has set us free, that I'm free. I'm no longer bound by those things. We've been rescued, amen, from the slavery of sin, praise God, and from that old harsh taskmaster's Pharaoh, the devil, amen. We're no longer under his rule. We're under new ownership, new management, amen. Our commander-in-chief, hallelujah, is the victor. He's taking us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. He's bringing us into a place that is flowing with milk and honey. And along the way, we're going to encounter some battles. Amen. But the grace of God is sufficient. If God says the land belongs to you, freedom is yours. You take that freedom. Amen. You don't take no for an answer. You say, God, I know that you have set me free from the power of sin. There's no addiction in my life that has power over me any longer. I believe I'm free in Jesus' name. I'm no longer a drug addict, an alcoholic, or a pervert, or whatever it might have been. I'm free in Jesus' name. Praise God. I've used this illustration before. I'm going to finish with this, guys. I remember reading a story about a dog who was kept inside a living room, and there was a glass sliding door on the back porch. You know, so the dog would continually run, you know, because he thought that the door was open. Anybody ever run into a glass pane before? Think it was so clean you didn't know it was there? Well, I didn't, but maybe you have. But the dog run up against that glass. He kept hitting that glass over and over again. You know, because he thought it was open, but the door was actually closed. To that, he got into a place where he said, well, I'm not doing that. And it took him a while. But he finally realized, you know, that, hey, I can't pass from here to there. It looks so good outside. The grass is so green. The sun is shining. There's other dogs out there playing and barking, pooping and do what they do, you know. But he says, I can't get from here to there. So one day, the master slides that glass open. You follow him? The door's open. Now, you're free to go. And what does the dog do? He just stands and looks out the door. Are you tracking? Because he did not know. What we don't know can hurt us. My people perish for lack of knowledge. So many are bound when God has set them free and they can walk in that freedom. But because of a lack of understanding and knowing what actually is freely available to them and who they are in Christ and how God has wrought a miracle, amen, of deliverance from the power of sin. So they continue to live in bondage. Even though the door is open, they continue to live in poverty. Are you hearing me, somebody? They did another experiment with fleas in a jar. Have you ever heard this one? They put a bunch of fleas in a jar, and the fleas would, you know, they would continue to go up and hit their heads on the top of that lid. And after a couple of times of doing that, they said, well, we better not do that anymore. That's getting painful. So after a while, they started to realize that the fleas were no longer trying to come up out of the lid. They took the cap off, and guess what? The fleas remained inside the jar. Even though they had access to freedom, they did not know or believe that they could be free. Isn't that? It's a simple illustration, but guys, it's the message is that simple. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. You've been set free from the power of sin. You simply need to walk according to the truth. And what God says and what says is yours in Him, who you are in Him, who He is in you. Amen. And no longer do I have to bow down to Pharaoh and any of his tricks or listen to any of his lies. Amen. Because Pharaoh would have been glad to welcome Israel back into the camp. Amen. And put them right back under bondage again and put them, amen, to the whip to their back again and be a harsh taskmaster to those people. Amen. But God says, I've got something better for you. I say, I'm bringing you out and I'm bringing you in. I'm bringing you into freedom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for the cross. You purchased our freedom at the cross. Your blood avails for us. We are free. We are new creations. We can live a life that is free from the bondage and the corruption of sin. Through the new birth and the new life you have made available to us in you. God, teach us how to live as free people, how to walk in the Spirit and enjoy your fellowship and live a life that honors you, brings you glory, hallelujah. And out of appreciation for our freedom and all you've done for us, God, we will offer our bodies to you now as living sacrifices and say, Lord, use me as a vessel. Work through me, Lord. Make me a blessing that out of my life, Jesus would shine. Be glorified, Lord, in the heavens and in the earth and in me. Hallelujah. Your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen.